Good morning. Among the many friends that our Lord Jesus Christ had when he walked on this earth, none were as noted as the name Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. I suspect that you remember these names. These siblings are mentioned several times, actually, in the gospel. According to the gospel of John, chapter 11, we know that they lived in a village called Bethany, which is about 2 miles outside of Jerusalem. During Jesus' journey to Jerusalem, he would often visit this family and stop by this village. With each visit, we find that Jesus Christ always felt very much at home with this family. Of course, we cannot forget the famous story of Lazarus, right? Jesus Christ raised him from the dead. Well, this morning we have another story of Mary and Martha, and of course, Jesus Christ. I call him the Master. It matches with all the M's. In this particular journey, Jesus again stayed at their home. These two sisters once again entertained Jesus Christ and his disciples. This story is recorded in Luke chapter 10, our text for this morning. In this particular encounter that Jesus Christ had with Martha and Mary, we learn the importance or the priority of Christian worship and service. The title of my message this morning is Martha, Mary, and the Master. Our text in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. So it would be good if you have your Bible open and follow along. Our text this morning. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." This is reading from the NIV translation. Let's pray, please. Heavenly Father, we come to you. We do, Lord, want to sit at your feet. We want to listen. We want to learn of you, Lord. So, Father, we do ask that you speak loudly, for your people is ready and willing to listen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, this story of Martha, Mary, and the Master has an important lesson for us regarding Christian service and Christian worship. You know, this teaching applies to us today. Actually, it may describe many of us. There are lessons of how we should spend our time with our Lord Jesus Christ. When we come to church on Sundays, how do we spend our time with him? Of course, we can spend private time with our Lord in our personal prayer times, in our private devotions, but we can also spend time corporately at least once a week when we come to church on Sundays. Just as how Martha and Mary spent their time with the Lord, the question we must also ask ourselves as we come to church, even this morning, how do we spend our time with the Lord when we come to church on Sundays? Do we come as worshipers primarily, or do we come as workers? Are we Mary or are we Martha? So as we study this passage, I want you to keep asking yourself, what am I or who am I? Am I Martha or am I Mary? My outline this morning is threefold. Mary, worshiping, verse 39. Martha, serving. Master, prioritizing. I will explain that a little bit later. First of all, Mary, worshiping. What was Mary doing? The text tells us that Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ, listening to what Jesus has said. She was paying attention to what Jesus Christ was saying. Another translation says, Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. When we hear someone, it implies that we also obey, isn't it? When we hear someone, it implies that we want to obey. So Mary took a full advantage of the intimate time that she had with Jesus Christ. So she chose to sit at his feet and listening to every word of the Master. Now one can imagine that Mary sitting by Jesus, not just hearing his word, but actually adoring and worshiping Jesus Christ. I would like to make a case that Mary was actually worshiping him. For we know from the rest of the scripture that Mary had a very worshipful heart. You know, this Mary of Bethany are mentioned three times in the gospel. Each time that we find her, she was at the feet of Jesus Christ, at today's story. Another story in John 11, verse 32, we find that Mary fell at the feet of Jesus Christ when Jesus Christ came to their house after Lazarus had died. The third incident is recorded in John chapter 12, verse 3. We once again find Mary at the feet of Jesus Christ. This time, she was pouring out expensive perfume, or nard, at the feet of Jesus. In fact, she was wiping Jesus' feet with her hair. Remember when the disciples criticized her, oh, what a waste. Jesus defended her, and Jesus commended her for her love and devotion. See, she was a woman of devotion. To me, that's the highest form of worship, at the feet of Jesus Christ, offering expensive perfume, wiping Jesus' feet with her hair. Now, what is the significance of sitting at one's feet? I guess we don't do that very much nowadays. But first of all, it gives us a picture of learning. It is a picture of a student or a disciple sitting at the feet of the master or his master or her master. Secondly, putting oneself at someone's feet is a picture of submission. As a disciple, submitting to their master or to the teaching of their master. So during this visit, Mary chose to sit at Jesus' feet, listening. She gave Jesus Christ undivided attention. Thirdly, sitting at someone's feet gives us a picture of worship, a picture of devotion. It is important that we learn to worship Jesus Christ at his feet during our own personal devotion and when we come together in corporate worship. In fact, Jesus Christ once said that man cannot live by bread alone, right? But by every word that comes out of his mouth. No wonder Jesus Christ in this text says Mary had chosen a better portion. In fact, this part, what she had chosen, cannot be taken away from her. See, Mary is a good example for us of what is Christian learning, what is Christian worship and devotion. So it's good for us to learn from her what is to have a worshipful heart. Mary demonstrates to us worship comes before service. Worship comes before work. A.W. Tozer, in his book, Whatever Happened to Worship, once said this, "I am of the opinion that we should not be concerned about working for God until we learn the meaning and the delight of worshiping Him." Let us learn from Mary, a woman who sat at Jesus' feet as a learner, also as a worshiper. Mary is teaching us how to choose a better portion in the kingdom of God, how to choose what is better when we come to church. Mary chose worship before service and work. Next, let us see what happened to Martha, who put service before work, right? Verse 40. But Martha was distracted by many preparations she had to be made, or that had to be made. She came and asked Jesus Christ, "Lord, don't you care that my sister left me all alone in the kitchen, laboring away? Help me. Tell her to help me." Now, as we read this text, Martha, or it suggests to us at least, Martha is the older of the two sisters. In fact, the Bible said it was her home. She was the owner of that house. Of course, as an owner, it is her responsibility to be a good hostess. Is that right? She makes sure that she entertains her guests. You know, I suspect that Martha had a gift of hospitality. As you know, this is a part of the gift of the Holy Spirit. So she was exercising her gift. She was probably busy preparing a meal for Jesus and his disciples. Martha wanted to do something special for Jesus Christ, just as her sister poured that expensive perfume, something very special for him. I suppose to hear Martha maybe said to her own heart, "You know, I want to do something special for my Lord." Her intention was good. But the Bible said Martha was distracted by the preparations that had to be made. Another translation says Martha was cumbered. She was encumbered. She was burdened by much serving. Perhaps the real problem was not too much work, but she allowed her work to distract her from listening to Jesus. You know, it is possible, brothers and sisters, to be distracted when we come to serve on Sundays, even the most useful and needful activities in the church. It has been said that we are to beware of the barrenness of busyness. We are to beware of the barrenness of busyness. You see, busyness does not equate to spirituality, isn't it? In fact, someone once said, "The devil does not need to destroy us. All he needs to do is to distract us." See, the Bible says Martha was distracted by her service. First of all, we should not be too critical of Martha. You know why? Because there are many Marthas among us. There are many of you who has a gift of hospitality. Just like Martha, you want to exercise that gift. Martha wanted to serve the Lord with her best. You and I know that it is not easy to entertain guests. Is that right? When we have guests come, we need to clean up the house, make sure the house is presentable. And Jesus Christ and the disciples had to be fed. I suspect they were hungry and thirsty from all that walking on a dusty Palestinian road. You know, I figure that Martha had to serve at least 15 people. She had to cook up a meal. You know, Jesus Christ and the 12 disciples, that's 13. Probably Mary and Lazarus, right? That's 15 altogether. Including her, at least 16 people that she had to cook for. In fact, another person thinks that when the Bible says the disciples, it was referred not only to the 12 disciples. Remember the 70 disciples that Jesus Christ sent out at the beginning of this chapter? Maybe it was the 70 disciples. So you can imagine that Martha had a whole house full of people that had to be fed. Perhaps the house had to be cleaned up, as I mentioned. And it was also customary in those days, when the guests come to your house, their feet had to be washed. Is that right? Remember that story? Maybe they didn't have a servant. I don't know. Somebody had to wash their feet. Maybe Martha had to do that as well. I don't know that. So at any rate, Mary was so distracted. In fact, I think it's understandable, right? So even in our church, there are many things that needs to be done every Sunday morning. Some has to teach Sunday school, or the children's program, or the worship team have to come early and practice to set up sounds and the audio and so on. And refreshment, maybe even lunch. There are things that has to be done. But all these things can distract us from worshiping God. If we are anxious, if we are troubled and distracted on our service, then really are we giving God effective service? One commentator speculated that Martha was distracted and she was much troubled because she was making an elaborate meal for Jesus. We don't know that. You know, perhaps one dish is enough, right? Instead of a 12-course dinner with shark fin soup and so on, maybe something simple, a little gravy over rice is enough. Sometimes simple hospitality will suffice instead of a very lavish entertainment. One commentator even jokingly said that when Jesus Christ said to her, you know, only one thing is needful, Jesus Christ was actually saying, Martha, Martha, only one dish is enough. You don't have to cook too much. Brother and sister, let me ask, are we like Martha? Are we like Martha when we come to church on Sundays? Are we primarily a worshiper, or are we primarily as workers? I know for some, because of children ministry, perhaps you have to miss worship service. Or you had to prepare for refreshment and lunch and so on. So we miss worship. You know, there's nothing wrong with serving the Lord on Sundays, busy working, getting things ready. The church needs faithful volunteers and workers, and they should be appreciated. But we must not just serve, but we must also worship. Otherwise, our worship can become barren, insignificant, spiritually meaningless. As important as our service is, without worship, we cannot satisfy our soul. Furthermore, without worship, we cannot satisfy the heart of our master. Jesus Christ said, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. So we must give this Lord of the Sabbath his priority, his devotion, and his worship first. As a side note, part of the priority of worship is to come to worship on time, brothers and sisters. I'm sorry, this is one of my pet peeves. My wife can tell you that. At 9:30, I come out after prayer meeting. I look around. There was literally nobody here. Yet our worship begins at 9:30. I do not mean to be legalistic. Please forgive me. I do not mean that. But I believe worship begins when the worship team calls us to worship. If you're not here, you cannot hear that call. We don't miss a meeting with a VIP or a very important person in our lives. And why do we have such a cavalier attitude coming to worship late? We must give our Lord Jesus Christ his full attention and his honor. Oh, may I encourage you, brothers and sisters, set your alarm clock 5-10 minutes early, that's all. And be here. If possible, even come early to prepare your hearts to worship the Lord. Let us see what work without worship did to Martha. The Bible said it caused her to be upset at her sister. She was critical, right? Lord, don't you even care? She was even accusing Jesus Christ, that Christ didn't care about her. Tell her to help me. It caused her to be critical. She was discouraged. Verse 40 says, Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Really? Is there anything that had to be made on Sunday morning to cause us to miss our worship? I don't think so. Maybe she had a little bit of self-righteousness in her. That what I'm doing is so important. I'm irreplaceable. I'm indispensable. Perhaps Martha thought that, hey, you know, I can serve two masters. I can divide my time. But I believe she was wrong. In our serving and working on Sundays, have we become upset? Have we become critical? And maybe even a little bit self-righteous in thinking that I'm the only one serving? No one else is doing their share? If serving God makes us difficult to work with, something is terribly wrong on what we call Christian service. This is what work without worship can do to us. We can be critical, upset with other people. Again, beware of the spiritual barrenness in our busyness of serving the Lord. When we come to church, we must come first to worship before works. We must be worshipers first before workers. Of course, teaching Sunday school is important. Serving in the children's ministry is important. In a worship team is important. But worship is far more important than all the other activities. Let me just offer a few suggestions. I know some of you are bilingual. If you have to serve during this first hour at 9:30, oh, may I encourage you to go to the second hour and worship if you understand Mandarin. And vice versa, I would say. The church I attend now, when we are in California, they have two worship services. So it's easy, right? Their workers are encouraged to worship 1 hour and serve the other hour, and vice versa. I don't know, perhaps we don't have the luxury. In fact, before they started the second service, or two services, the pastor would actually ask all the co-workers to come early. And he would kind of offer them a modified worship service, if you will, a mini service, so at least the workers will have a chance to worship before they serve. I truly believe that if we put priority on our worship, God will give us the wisdom. God will give us the creativity to find a solution to the dilemma, to the struggle that we might face. Please forgive me if I offend someone by saying these words. It may seem harsh. I maintain that faithful workers and volunteers in in any church are hard to come by nowadays, right? You literally drag people out to work. I certainly do not mean to undervalue any co-workers. I do not mean to make light of the service that you do on Sundays. There is indeed joy and reward of serving the Lord. But I do care even more of our spiritual growth. See, there is danger trying to work for Christ without first taking time to spend time to commune with him. Warren Wiersbe once made this quote, "What to do with Christ is far more important than what you, what you do with Christ is far more important than what you do for Christ." I believe this is a priority of worship over service. I also believe that this is also the heart of our Master and Lord. And this is my third point. The Master prioritizing. What is he prioritizing? I believe Jesus Christ is putting priority of worship over service. Even as we struggle to balance our service and our working with worshiping, it is good to see how our Lord Jesus Christ responded to that situation when Martha complained. Verse 41 and 42. "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, and the only thing is needed, or only one thing is needed. Mary had chosen what is better, and that will not be taken away from her." See, Jesus Christ responded to Martha's complaint with tender, loving words, isn't it? You hear words of encouragement here. You do not see words of condemnation. Because Jesus knows it is a common struggle, even in our modern churches today. So Jesus Christ offered these words and offered these words to us. First of all, notice how tender Jesus was. "Martha, Martha." Christ did not do that very often. But each time when when Jesus Christ called people's name twice, "Peter, Peter," is always something of concern and care. Jesus Christ did not reprimand Martha for serving, right? He did not say, "Martha, that's a bad thing that you have chosen. Martha, what an evil thing that you're doing." No, Christ did not say that. Instead, Jesus Christ said, "Mary had chosen what is better." Another translation said, "Mary chosen a better thing." Well, logically speaking, if Mary had chosen a better thing, that implies to me that Martha had chose a good thing. Is that right? Mary chose a good thing. It's just that Martha chose a good thing. It's just that Mary had chose a better thing. Mary still chose a good thing to serve, but it's better to serve the Lord, but it's better to worship him as well. Jesus Christ looked into into Martha's heart. He saw a troubled soul. He saw a distracted heart. She was too busy serving, therefore she was not being blessed. Jesus Christ knew exactly what Martha needed at this time. So Jesus Christ said to Martha, "Only one thing is needed. Only one thing is needful." Well, what did Jesus Christ mean when he said only one thing is needed? Of course, the Bible does not explain to us. I was only joking earlier when I said only one dish is enough. No, one dish is not enough, believe me. I love to eat. In fact, last night my family went to Feast Buffet. I gorged myself. Some commentators says believe that one thing means the spiritual needs rather than physical needs. Some things that this one thing referring to is what Mary did, sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ, learning from him. This one thing is what Mary chosen, the attitude of learning and depending on Jesus Christ. This one thing is what Mary chose. It was Mary's worship rather than work that is needful. This spiritual attitude is something that we should have as we come to worship. On Sunday, one thing is needful. The most important thing is that we come to worship God. This one thing is needed for Martha. It's also needed for you and for me. Worship should be the primary things that we do and that we are actually. We come in the morning, each Sunday morning, we offer God the sacrifice of praise, right? We sing to him. We offer his offerings. Worship is hearing and meditating on God's word. See, acceptable worship will lead to acceptable service and vice versa. It is then our service will be pleasing and acceptable to him. So let me summarize quickly. What are we as we come on Sunday morning? Are we worshipers or are we workers? Are we Mary primarily or are we Martha? Or is that an either choice? I don't think it is an either or choice. Or can we both be Mary and Martha? I believe we can. We can be both. But I think it is a matter of priority. Our works and service must be balanced with worship and with listening to the word of God. Work without worship is busyness, barrenness, lack of without blessing. I believe our Lord Jesus Christ wants us to learn from both Mary and Martha. We can learn from Mary and how the way that she worshiped, the way that she devoted her life to God. We can also learn from Martha, her faithful service, offering what is her best to the Lord. I believe there are Marthas in us, among us. I believe there are also Marys among us. And we can learn from each other. The Marthas can learn from the Marys. The Marys can learn from the Marthas, you might say. Worshippers, we can learn from the workers how faithful they are. And workers, we can learn from the worshippers. Charles Wesley, the famous hymn writer, in one of his hymns he wrote, "Faithful to my Lord's command, I would choose the better part. Serve with careful Martha's hand and loving Mary's heart." See, we are commanded to worship God, yes. We are also commanded to serve. But we must worship before service. Brothers and sisters, what are you? Or what is that most needful thing that you do? Not only on Sundays. What is this most needful thing in your life right now? If you're not sure what this needful thing is, we can find it at the feet of Jesus Christ. Some of you may recognize this statue, Christus, a Danish sculptor, Thorvaldsen. And since that, there are many different versions of this. This statue of Jesus Christ opening his hands with his face looking down. So when Thorvaldsen finished this statue, he invited a friend to come to preview this statue. And this friend made a comment, "You know, I cannot see Jesus' face." And Thorvaldsen said, "Yes, you can. You have to come near to his feet. You have to come down, bend your knees at his feet and look up. Then you will see Jesus' face." Oh, brother and sister, is that not correct? if you do not know what is the one needful thing in your life, or your direction in life, or know what to do in life, come before Jesus Christ. Sit at his feet. Come near him, then he will reveal what is for you. What is that needful thing for you? Brothers and sisters, only when we first worship Christ on our bended knees at his feet, then we can see Christ clearly, then we can learn to serve him effectively and fruitfully. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you come to us. Not only that we come to worship on Sunday, you come to us. Come to even into our house, so to speak. Oh Lord, teach us that we may learn to spend time at your feet. Worship you. Adore you. So we come before you, Lord. Offer our lives for your sake, for your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hi. Can I ask everyone to stand and let's just sing this last song together in response? Kind of, we just heard through the message. As we sing the song, if it's not familiar to you, then that's actually kind of great, because some songs that we know really well, sometimes we'll just sing through and not really pay attention to the words. But just focus on these words, where it really recognizes who God is, what he's done for us, and as we come to a greater understanding, that would, again, compel us to go out and to serve.
Send us out. stand beside the broken. We must go stepping forward. Keep us from just singing. Move us into action. We must go. Stepping forward, keep us from just singing. Move us into action. We must go. Stepping forward, keep us from just singing. Move us into action. We must go.
Father God, we thank you for this song and for this message today. A reminder that, God, you don't, not to get down on ourselves, but you don't need us to change hearts, to bring people to you. But God, you want us first. You want our hearts. You want our us to know that, again, that your love is not conditional. And God, that you've... And it's so cool that once we do recognize that and we come and we worship and we're filled, that indeed that you desire to send us out, that we might be able to not only bring you glory, but experience you in deeper and more fully. As we love others, as we give of ourselves, of our time, of our money. So we thank you for today, and it's just this reminder of the need for priority, prioritization in our lives. That worship of you and a right relationship with you should come first and foremost. And to try to will that into happening through just serving more and giving more, I don't know if that'll work. So God, we just want to take these words and put them into practice. So may we go from this place and may we go from today with a greater realization that that worship is essential. Our relationship with you is essential. And that when that is the fuel that leads us out to serve, God, that that burnout is a lot more difficult because we know that we're doing so out of an overflow of grace that we've received from you and recognition of that. So we thank you again for this time of worship, through not only the singing of your song, but hearing your good word, being encouraged, being challenged. Holy Spirit, help us to understand what we need to do with that. Thank you again for how you love us and how you are a God who is so easy to love. We love you, Father. We love you, Son. We love you, Holy Spirit. We thank you again. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's be seated.
Good morning, everybody. I'm going to make our announcements really short. As usual, after service, we have time of fellowship in the fellowship hall. And then after that, we have Sunday school for both the youth and the adults. So please stay with us. We're nearing the end of the Bible. We're near the end of Revelation, so it's pretty exciting. Today, we have our brother Dylan Law to come and share his testimony. Yes. Yes. All right. So let's give him a warm welcome. Come on up. Did you forget? All right.
Okay.
Okay, that works. Hello, everyone. I am Brother Dylan, and maybe you've met me. I shall do my testimony now. If there is one thing to know about me, it's that I'm not very good at going out and doing things. I haven't gotten my license yet. I haven't finished my essay today that I'm going to do. And I somehow forget to bring my basketball to gym every time, even though I'm reminded. When people around me say they got baptized, I always thought, man, I want to do that, but never acted on it for a while. I always felt that my walk in faith was just a checklist, just going through the motions, you know? I always pride myself as a believer of God since birth, but my actions spoke like a Sunday Christian. I always thought that if God could just give me a sign, maybe give me all A's for the quarter, then I would go get baptized right on the spot. I never got all A's, but I did get baptized, so something did change, right? It all started with a meeting with Deacon Derek, my man, my homie. And he asked me if I thought I was gonna go to heaven. You know, naturally, like, what was I gonna say? No, I love hell, no. No, I said, yes, I'm gonna go to heaven, and I thought I was gonna go to heaven. But then, get this, right? He played his trap card, and he said, if you were gonna go to heaven right here, then what would you say to justify going to heaven? Ooh, trap card. And you know what? Usually the protagonist has a way to get around it, but no, I didn't. So I was just like in shock and I couldn't really do anything, you know? And yeah, that just stuck with me, you know? And I mean, I did the dishes today, but the day before, but nothing to really say, yes, God, I deserve to go here, right? And you know, that's when it just clicked to me, man. Like, I shouldn't wait for a sign, but I should be acting right here and right now, you know? I always thought that if I was born non-Christian, then I would be stronger in faith once I become Christian, you know, like converted, you know, not just like, yeah. But in the end, all of these are excuses, you know? Not acting on it for so long, which is my fault, and any excuse I use is just another way of lying to myself. So I got baptized, and it was great. All right, I'm done.
Thank you. Let's take some time for prayer, and then I'll do the benediction and dismiss us. Father God, how easy it is for us to busy ourselves. Lord, it is so easy to even busy ourselves with church matters and ministry, spiritual things. But Father, only one thing is important, is to sit at the feet of Jesus and to worship. Lord, help us to prioritize worship before work, Father, in our lives and even in our church. Let worship be the most important thing, glorifying you and spreading your fame and letting others know about this love that you have for us. Help us to worship, Lord, before we get up here on Sunday morning, before we stand up before our Sunday schools. Lord, let us worship. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. You're dismissed.